This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, let's go back out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find the one and only John Perotta, who spent some time in Bradenton. He's safely back home in Pittsburgh. And Johnny, I guess I'd just like to start out with the single most impressive thing you saw during your time in Bradenton. Could be, I don't know, a draft pick, a rookie, could be Paul Skeens, could be something we don't think about. But what were you just blown away by, if anything, during your time in Bradenton?
Well, you know, I was only there 3 days, unfortunately, so I didn't get to see a lot. But I was blown away that Paul Skeens, who already had such a great rookie year last year, winning Rookie of the Year and finishing third in a Cy Young vote, had added more pitches. And, you know, I don't know if he can get any better than he did last year, but maybe he will. He added a two-seam fastball, and also a cutter, which is like a version of a kind of a shorter breaking slider. And, you know, just watching him throw them in a bullpen session, and I realize a bullpen session not quite the same as a game, but it was pretty impressive. And I was really impressed talking to him. How much better he wants to get. He's certainly not resting on a fantastic rookie season.
Yeah, you seem to have conversations with him from time to time. I was just reading your story headline, Paul Skeens wants to be more than an ace. What does that mean? Like, what kind of conversation did you have with him? What did he say? And how does he impress you just as a person?
He impresses me as a no-nonsense type guy. And that's not to say he doesn't have any personality. He's not a good guy. He just he wants to win, and he wants to win badly. And, you know, the story you alluded to, the column was he wants to be a leader on the team. And that's kind of hard to pull off a lot of times for a pitcher, be a starting pitcher, especially because, you know, you're only on the mound every fifth or sixth day. And he is also just 22, which I realize is kind of hard to believe with everything he's accomplished, but he's really just a kid. But he already has the type of personality, he has the type of respect, which is the biggest thing in that clubhouse, where I do think he can become a team leader here very early in his career. And I think as much as anything, his work ethic and his attitude is a great way to lead by example, if not, you know, get up in somebody's face when something goes wrong.
So today is March 3rd, 2025, Johnny. I want to get a name from you, somebody that we'll be talking about on October 3rd, 2025. Somebody not named Paul Skeens or Jared Jones, people we know about. Give me a name of somebody who you think will have the kind of season that we will be talking about basically 7 months from now.
You know, I'm going to go with Mike Burrows, who did make his debut in the last weekend of the season in New York at Yankee Stadium last year and got the win in middle relief. He's kind of been the forgotten man here, Bob, the last few years. He had Tommy John surgery, didn't pitch at all in 23. He's one of that whole group of pitchers in Indianapolis with Bubba Chandler and Thomas Harrington and Graham Ashcraft, the four really pretty good prospects there in the rotation of Triple A Indy. He's probably ranked the lowest of the four, but I liked what I saw. And again, it was only 2 2/3 innings last year. But this guy was in the futures game a couple years ago before he had his Tommy John surgery. So he's become a little bit of a forgotten guy. And I think in the shadows of some of those other prospects, that he's going to have a good season, and we're going to see him in Pittsburgh at some point. I have the feeling, just in the bit I've talked to him over the years, that he has the maturity and makeup to be able to handle pitching in the big leagues.
I'm glad to hear that, because I think they need more and more of those guys, if for no other reason, to trade them to acquire other things. Do you think the Pirates even think that way, John? I mean, that they would look at it, you know, we have a surplus of young pitching, and I realize you can never have enough of it. I get it. That's why they have those guys down there. But you also have a deficit when it comes to hitting and bats and power. Can they do that? Would they consider doing that? And if so, who would be the two guys maybe that you would trade if you had a chance to get a legitimately good bat?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think Bailey Falter would be one guy that I would think about trading, because he did have a pretty decent year last year. He's still relatively young. He's got like 3 more years of control before he can become a free agent, and everybody likes lefties, so I think he would be somebody that would get you something back. I don't know if he would get you a premier type player, but he certainly could get you a useful hitter. You know, they did trade Luis Ortiz for Spencer Horwitz, and so far, because of injury, that hasn't worked out at all. But, you know, I definitely wouldn't give up Bubba Chandler of those guys at Triple-A. I think he's going to be the best of the four. But certainly, I think if you could get a good young hitter for Harrington or Burroughs or Ashcraft, then I think certainly I would consider doing it. And if you were to get a real impact hitter, you might have to give up Mitch Keller. I don't know if I would necessarily want to do that, but I would think in the right trade, I would consider it.
Johnny, Matt Gorski, do you think that there's any possibility he could end up being a guy at first base that's had a really good spring that could fill in for Spencer Horwitz on the IL?
He could be. I mean, the guy, no one's ever doubted Matt Gorski's talent. I mean, he can hit, he can run, he has put up some home run numbers in the minor leagues, not huge, but he has shown the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, no one's ever questioned his talent. He just hasn't been able to put it all together. And, you know, maybe this is the time he does it. I don't get too excited about spring training statistics because, you know, I've seen a lot of people over the years. I think of Mark Johnson. I think of Matt Haig, the current hitting coach. Tore up the Grapefruit League, and then when the season started, not so much. So, you know, I want to get too excited about the first week, 10 days of spring training games, but he certainly does have talent. And when you have talent, it is possible, but again, I wouldn't bet a large sum of money on it.
John Parrotto from Pittsburgh Baseball Now on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can talk to our friend Limits on the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I don't put much stock in spring training stats either, John, but, you know, doing good beats doing bad, I suppose, and Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis are both having pretty nice springs, both with the OPS over 1,100. Who's more likely to make the team, and is there a chance both will?
You know, I think if I had to go right now, just and not really going on spring statistics, just on the vibe I got when I was there and over the winter, I would say Andy Rodriguez probably has a little bit better chance, but Henry Davis certainly is making his case here early on. He's 4 for 12 with a couple doubles and a home run. And, you know, the other scenario I think could happen is that you see both Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis go back to Triple-A, where they would have a chance to play more often. And maybe Jason DeLay begins the season as the backup catcher to Joey Bart. Not saying that will be the arrangement all season, that Andy or Henry or both of them could eventually work their way to the big leagues. But Pirates have a lot of ways they can go with their catchers. They made it clear that Bart's the number one guy, at least to start the season. But they have a lot of depth and a lot of flexibility in it. It's going to be interesting to see how they decide to shake out this whole catching situation toward the end of camp.
It sounds to me like, I don't know, I'm a big proponent of Davis being up here. I don't care. He's 1-1. To me, he's got to be up here. And if he's having a good spring, to me, that's an indication that he needs to be up here playing, whether that's backup catcher 2 days a week, DH 3 days a week. He and Andrew McCutchen split it. Do they look at it that way at all? Are they trying, if he has a good spring, to create opportunities for him at this level? Because I would be.
You know, I don't get the feeling they're going far out of their way to do that. I think they would like to, in a perfect world, see him earn his way onto the team this spring. And, you know, I will say this about Henry Davis. He cares probably almost too much sometimes to his detriment. He's a hard worker. I mean, he's one of the first guys there at the ballpark every day, sometimes the first guy and one of the very last people to leave. And, you know, he says that he wants to be more relaxed at the plate this year, that he puts too much pressure on himself. And I would agree. He's been wound pretty tight during his times in the big leagues. And I think, and a good example for him to follow, Bob, would be Joey Bart. You know, Joey Bart did the same thing in San Francisco. He was supposed to be the next Buster Posey. He was the second overall pick in the 18 draft. And he admitted he put too much pressure on himself. And when the Pirates got him in the waiver trade early last season, he decided to, the heck with it, I'm just going to have fun with it and play baseball, and whatever happens, happens. And he ended up having a really good year in 80 games, hit 14 home runs. If that's the attitude that Davis can maintain, then I think that he could end up being successful, because I do think he's his own worst enemy at times because of his intensity. And if he does learn to relax a little bit and just have a little fun playing the game, perhaps it could make a difference.
I think it was against Baltimore, but O'Neill Cruz took a bad route on a ball that was hit towards deep center field, came in on the ball, didn't realize it was over his head and off the wall. What do you think about the prospect of Cruz playing center field after we saw it for a month last year, John? Are you confident in his abilities there?
You know, I certainly think Austin, he has the athletic ability to do it. He's fast. He covers a lot of ground in a short period of time with those long legs. He certainly has the arm to play in the outfield. He has a great arm. He's still a work in progress, and I hate to not answer the question, kind of Dave Littlefield Memorial, don't answer the question answer, but, you know, I think he could do it. I still think he's a work in progress. I think he's finally accepted. I don't think he was really happy last year that he got moved off shortstop, but I think he's had a winner to accept the fact that, hey, I'm a center fielder now, and I think he'll work at it, and I think he can do it, but we'll see. I mean, like I said, he's still very rough around the edges, and this is going to be an important spring training for him to really continue to learn the nuances of the position, and I think we'll see. It'll be interesting by the time camp ends here in about 3.5 weeks to see how much better he's gotten out there, but I think he certainly has the ability to do it.
So early in the show, Joe and I and Austin were talking about what Paul Skene's schedule should be like. Opening day pitcher, fine. But they also have the home opener coming up on April, whatever that is, the 4th against the Yankees. Is there a possibility that he makes both of those starts? Will they create an opportunity for that to happen? Or will they just pitch him in that Yankee series at some point and not worry about the home opener if it means you can get 3 starts out of him over the first 3 series?
Yeah. Well, the way it lines up, he would pitch in the opener in Miami and then pitch in either the second or the third game of that 3-game series in Tampa Bay, the second series of the year. But I could see them possibly reconfiguring the rotation to get him into, if not necessarily the home opener, at least one of the games against New York. Because, I mean, let's face it, it's a business too. And they drew about 9,000 more a game last year when he started. So, I mean, he is a drawing card, and he does sell tickets. But I also don't think they want to rearrange his schedule to the point where it would be detrimental, where he would have either too short a rest or maybe too long of a rest. So it'll be interesting. I haven't heard anything, to be quite honest. I haven't broached the subject with anyone, so this is all speculation on my part. But I could see it as a possibility just for the fact that, you will draw a crowd. But now, again, you know, on the home opener, it really doesn't matter who pitches. They'll have a always have a good crowd, a sellout, or at least close to a sellout. But, yeah, I mean, it would certainly make sense if they did play around with the rotation a little bit.
Bob, even though you went out of order with the questions, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Not yet. I have another. No, go ahead. Yes.
Do you have another one?
No, go ahead.
Please.
No. Free association.
The show's yours, Bob.
Free association.
You're first on the marquee.
Free association is something. It's free.
All right. It don't cost nothing, Johnny. Are you ready?
I thought it was paid association.
No, unfortunately, nothing like
okay.
that.
Okay. I got confused. Okay.
So your bet is that Skeens will start the first game of the season in Miami and not the home opener?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Who's going to be the starter at first base?
That's a great question. I'm going to say Derek Hall. I'm very much in his corner. He hit a home run yesterday. This guy just impressed me the little bit of time he was in the big leagues with the Phillies. That's who I would pick. But right now, that's a very difficult question to answer. I don't think there is a leader right at the moment.
All right, we have about 2 minutes, so let's get down the field. Let's matriculate the ball here. Your initial impression in 10 words or less of Connor Griffin?
Outstanding.
That sounds enticing. How soon before he hits the big leagues?
Scouts who I trust to back that up. I think that was under 10 words.
Yes, it was. How soon before he's in the big leagues?
I don't think this year, but maybe next year, or certainly 2027.
When is Termar Johnson in the big leagues?
TBD. He's got to hit better than 239.
Your impression of Key Brian Hayes at camp health-wise? Was he moving around okay? Does he look like a guy ready to play all the time?
He seemed to be, we'll have to wait and see.
And your rotation. What is the opening rotation?
I'll go Skeens, Jones, Falter, Keller, Heaney. And the reason Falter's three is they'll want to break up the left-handers in the rotation instead of pitching Falter and Heaney back-to-back.
And how soon before we see Bubba Chandler?
I'll say June.
And who does he replace?
Well, Falter would seem to be the most likely candidate. So I would say Falter, but again, TBD, see how everyone else is pitching.
Trade or just a motion?
Trade would be optimal to get a hitter, but I think in a perfect world.
Anything? Over and under 76 and a half wins.
It's time for optimism. It's spring.
There you
so
go.
I'll go over.
When will we see Johan Oviedo, John?
I think, early on, if not opening day, sometime thereafter. I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Will David Benmar become the pitcher he was a couple of years ago?
I think so. I think he can.
Will Colin Holderman blow up again, or will he be semi respectable here?
I think he'll be semi respectable. He really, other than the five outing stretch last year, he actually was pretty decent, but he had that nightmarish couple weeks where he just couldn't get anybody out.
Johnny, I'll leave you with this one, unless Bob has more after this, which I'm sure he does. I think in the modern era, anyway, the two most highly regarded seasons for a Pirates pitcher would be Drabek, Cy Young year, and the Candyman going 20-5 with a real good ERA, I think, in 1977. Do you think that Paul Skeens is primed right now to have the best season of a Pirate pitcher ever?
Oh, yes. At some point in his career, he will have, for sure, the best season in Pirate history. Could it be this year? Absolutely.
Do you agree that those two are the top two? And maybe Skeens last year is up there too.
Well, Skeens last year was awfully good. The only thing he gets dinged on is the fact, and it's not his fault, is he wasn't there all year.
Yeah.
I mean, he only made 23 starts.
Thank you, Johnny. I have no further questions.
It's a pleasure talking to you, man.
All right, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. It's good talking with you, too.
What a wonderfully polite man he is, huh, Bob?
Yeah, he is. And he's very good at what he does.
That was a lot of questions and a lot of info.
Yes, it was.
Where do we begin here? He thinks, who did he say at first base? Hall and Oates?
Hall and Oates. DJ Hall, is that his name? I don't even know.
Derek, you're confusing him with DJ Stewart, Bob.
I don't blame him for confusing him with DJ Stewart.
The only thing I would have asked him that we didn't is how long is Horwitz going to be out here? He's got to go through his own little rehab back and spring training stuff and all that. But I want to see him play just because I want to see what they saw in him that made them give up Luis Ortiz to get him.
I can't believe that Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier were brought in here.
No, I mean that's... It's one thing not to do anything. It's another thing to do that.
I'm simulating the NHL draft lottery on Tankathon. Ready, Bob? All you do is you press Sim Lottery, and it does the ping pong balls for you. You ready? Sim Lottery, Penguins choose 6 with Nashville as the top pick. Sim Lottery, Penguins choose 6th again with Chicago as the first pick. Do you like the lottery system, or do you think the team with the worst record should pick first?
Well... there was a time I thought the team with the worst record should pick first.
Pittsburgh picked 2nd. I just did it again. They have the 2nd pick in this one.
But I understand why it was instituted, and I understand, you know, to try to discourage teams from doing this because you're not going to be guaranteed the first overall pick. So you have to be involved in a lottery. So at the same time, there are teams that really need help, and they're bad on their own. They legitimately need help, and they're not going to get that oftentimes because they're going to be 6-7 in the NBA lottery. You can be even lower than that. So,
can you believe how horrifying the Penguins have become? Oh, my God.
You know what? I'll say this about that.
They have 16 regulation wins in 63 games.
They do. It's not good. But I will say, if you're just interested in going and watching a hockey game like yesterday, I thought yesterday was highly entertaining. It's one of those games where if you took your family and you just had, you know, forget the records and just looked at this game and said, you got all these big-time stars on the ice, and it was a very interesting game, back and forth. Goaltending, not so much, but if you like goals, you got a lot of them. If you have end-to-end action, overtime, all of it, it was worth going for that reason.
Holy corn follicles. This one has Buffalo 1st and Pittsburgh 2nd in this one. I'll say this, too, and this is from watching the games on television. Maybe you can answer this if you've been in the building. It really seems like the crowds have been good.
Yesterday's crowd was real good.
I commend Penguins fans on that.
Joe Louis. There were a lot of people from Detroit there, or from Toronto there. Those teams follow their teams well, and they were making a big amount of noise. And every time they would start with a go Leafs go, the Penguin fans would counter with let's go Pens. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, considering where they are and what, you know.
This one has the Penguins picking first.
And do they say who's going to pick?
No,
the pick is?
No, it just has the
Can you do me a favor and find out who is supposed to be the top pick in this draft?
Yes, Joe, you can click the mock draft portion of it because I just got the Penguins picking first. They would pick a defenseman, Matthew Schaefer, from Erie.
From Erie, Bob, McDavid.
And what is his upside in terms of getting here fast?
What I mean by that is Connor McDavid played in Erie
before
somebody texts me. The Penguins also, right now, get the 14th pick because the Rangers are top 13 protected on that pick. So the Penguins could have 2 picks in the top 14 if they could unload Ricard Raquel to somebody like Vancouver, Ottawa, Detroit, Jersey. They could have 3 picks in the top 20, I think.
They could.
A lot of people don't think Raquel would draw a first-round pick. I don't know why.
Well, even if it was somebody who's on the brink of being up here, a good player who they could bring in and play, young player. Systems are full of those kinds of players. You just got to locate one, figure out who you'd like, and see if that would be the return if you did offer them up.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again.
again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with
here? You can call me Ron.
You know what that means, Bob? The Limitless Express is on the tracks, and if you want to catch it, you better hop on. Limits, let's go.
Hop on the moving train, boys, because Mark Caballi has released his first Steelers 7-round mock draft. He has the Steelers picking wide receiver Luther Burden from Missouri in the first round.
Bob, that would ease their burden at wide receiver.
Certainly would ease
it?
Their burden, yes.
What do you want me to say about it? The idea of picking a receiver makes sense. Yes, it does.
Yeah, we should keep this all generic because it's about position more than it is names. Whatever names end up being called, but you know, they need help. Everyone knows where they need help, and they know where they need help.
I'm fine with a receiver in the first round, even though I'm not if a certain man is available, but we'll talk about that at 1 o'clock. What about Genty? Would you pick him? He's
in
available.
The first round? No.
Is he the best player in the draft? Top five player anyway?
I may consider him the best running back, but I'm staying away from running backs when I need wide receiver, defensive line, and cornerback help.
I'd be tempted.
Darius Slay was just released by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, really?
Pro Bowler, yep.
That was also a part of the Limitless Express topics. What do you make of that?
Bob's jumping in on everything today. Did you hear what he did with the free association with Johnny?
Well, He overtook free association.
I've never had that happen before.
Of these wonderful things. I felt I should just insert myself. That's all.
That didn't sound right, Bob. Go ahead. You're up.
That didn't sound right. What is the question?
I don't know.
What do you think of Darius Slay as a potential option in the secondary, Bob?
You know, and because he was released, they can, you know, come up with any amount of money. I wouldn't be against that at all. It would be a better version of Dante Jackson, I think.
It would? I'm watching Jackson Dart highlights from 1 o'clock.
I can't believe you're really enamored with him.
I am.
Keep in mind what he did at the end of the year when Ole Miss
ruin the topic.
Dogged out.
I know. Believe me. We'll do that at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, Limits. What was the question?
Well, the question was first about the wide receivers, and then we were going to go further into the Caballi mock. But while we're on the topic of Darius Slay, Joe, what do you think of the potential that Slay, he doesn't like being called Darius. He likes being called Big Play Slay or Slay. Could be on the Steelers.
You know, they need help at corner. I know that much. Dante Jackson had some big plays, but I think overall he really wasn't that good, to be honest with you. He's kind of like the team, and their secondary's kind of like the team in that when the competition stiffened, they lessened. And then what? Cam Sutton and people like that? So, yeah, the more depth at corner, the better, Bob.
Yes, that's why I would be interested. And like I said, he would be an upgrade from Jackson. So there could be a few other guys who fall into that same situation moving forward.
Caballi has the Steelers taking defensive lineman Deion Walker from Kentucky, a 6'7", 330-pound defensive lineman in the second round, saying that the Steelers could easily go D-tackle in the first round if the right guy is there, like Walter Nolan or Kenneth Grant at 21. But if not, Walker is an absolute monster that the Steelers could use in the middle of their defense, especially if you saw how the defense was gashed in the running game over the final month a year ago.
If he's an absolute monster, why is he going in the third round? I don't want to talk about this anymore. He said third.
No, second.
If he's an absolute monster, why is he going in the second round?
Monsters go in the second round.
Do they?
Yeah, so do wide receivers. So do a lot of people.
Yeah, I want to draft
defensive linemen. The Steelers have done over the years. They've in rounds 2 and 3, they have almost every year for the past how many have gone a wide receiver, you know? So some of them start out well and then, you know, get traded. Others start out slowly, emerge. I'm going to be interested to see what Roman Wilson does this year, given the fact that he wasn't ready to go in there at any point last year, it seemed.
Yeah, wide receiver or tight end with Freiermuth a couple of years ago. Speaking of Penn State, he has Kevin Winston, the safety from Penn State, being the third-round draft pick. Winston was hurt in practice 2 games in and barely played this season.
Good for them. I don't want to talk
about
this.
I don't want a safety. Not in my top 3 picks.
Why, Bob?
Because I think they need more defensive line help.
Yeah, I agree with that. D-line is where it's at. You win Super Bowls with destructive defensive lines. Next, no more draft questions, please.
ESPN has a mock trade for Rickard Rakell, saying the Utah Hockey Club would receive Rakell for a player, a 2025 first-round draft pick, and Ottawa's 2026 second-round pick.
I'd rather see
who's the player. Do they name players or just a player?
Some younger player,
I
would imagine.
It can't be just a player.
Yeah, that's a great trade.
It's
left
winger Matias Maselli.
He doesn't mean anything to me or to anybody else at this particular time. That's an unbelievable trade. And I was just telling somebody yesterday, because Utah's ownership wants to make moves for people with term, of which Raquel is one, that they might be a candidate to do something dumb at the deadline. And a first and a second round pick and a player? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I would do that in a second.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Thank you, Limits.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's just a slam dunk option, right? Like, automatic, have to do it if that's possibly on the table. Next, Dan Orlovsky tweeted out earlier today that the Steelers' yards per carry average over the last six seasons, we know what Najee's is, 3.9.
Yeah.
That's the Steelers' average as well. It's the worst in the entire NFL over the last 6 years. Worst.
Just an unbelievable indictment of one guy overall, and that's Mike Tomlin, for his coordinator selections, for his offensive line coach selections, for some of the draft selections, for the overall mentality on offense, for the Najee Harris selection. Just an incredible indictment of one man above the rest.
I think the philosophy doesn't bother me. It's the execution of the philosophy that has been the problem. You could have really good run success like a lot of these teams. Philadelphia led the NFC and a lot of that. Ravens were the top team in the AFC for that. You can have that mindset as long as you execute and get the right pieces in place. And you have to have the ability to go down the field more to offset that, to complement it. And if you don't, then you're going to be stuck knowing what's coming. And when that happens, defenses are just too good.
Right, so half of the mindset has to be we also need to have explosion plays down the field. For Tomlin, too often it's been over that stretch of time anyway. Let's just be in it at the end and try to win 13-11. And it's you try to win death by a thousand cuts, and that'll only get you so far. Plus the personnel, plus the coaching hires. Everything wrapped into one, all points to one guy.
Our friend Chris Carter points out that the Steelers in that span still have the eighth best record in all of football, with their quarterbacks being Duck Hodges, Old Ben, Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph, Fields, and Wilson.
Great. How many playoff wins do they have? How many times have they been competitive in even a single playoff game in that time? Anyone?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. Right. None.
Zero.
73-0 in the first quarter of those playoff games as well.
Exactly. And how long a span is that?
That goes back 8 years. This was going back the last 6 years for that 3.9 yards per carry average.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Limits.
Next up. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll get this at the end. Whenever you're done, I have this question for Joe.
You can pose it now.
Please.
Well, I didn't get a chance to get your feeling on Deebo Samuel trade to Washington. I am of the belief that that's not going to work for them. I've looked at his career, what he does. I mean, he could be helpful, certainly, to a young quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but I think his best years are not happening now. And I think the fifth-round pick is something, of course. It's a fifth-round pick, but they have to inherit that salary, too, which I guess they have room to do. But I'm not really sold on Deebo Samuel, and I'm glad the Steelers didn't bite on that.
No, I mean, he's going to turn 30 here, and I think his best year, he may have one more in him. He may have one more. I mean, just 2 years ago, he did have, 890 yards receiving, something like that, and seven touchdowns, and then five more on the ground. So he had 12 touchdowns just 2 years ago. But every year is a lifetime in the NFL, and we're many lifetimes away from when he was one of the most lethal two-way players in the league. They say he's overweight. I don't think that was a good bet right there, old Deebo.
For just a fifth-round pick, though?
It's the money. You got to pay him all that contract. There's not a release involved here, so it is a lot of money.
Even if it's just a one year deal, and then you let him walk if you don't want to bring him back, I would have been okay with them taking a flyer on him for a fifth.
Fair enough. Next.
What about Devontae Adams? Would you take a flyer on him? It seems that the Jets are taking calls on Adams, and maybe he'll end up winding up wherever Aaron Rodgers does.
He has to be released. I'm not dealing with him unless he's released.
So you have no interest in, even if it's like a seventh-round pick for Adams? Because his contract is up there pretty high, 28, 30 million.
Yeah, it's 38 million cap. I'd rather wait till, and I think he will be released.
I think this guy can still play.
I do too, but that's why I wouldn't want to get the existing contract. That's all I'm
saying.
Think
about the two situations he was in last year. Listen to this, Bob. He was in Las Vegas where, who was their quarterback? Aiden O'Connell?
Aiden O'Connor or who else did they bring in?
A couple of stiffs.
Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, that's right.
And then you know, the corpse of Aaron Rodgers. And he had, you guys tell me, are you looking at his stats right now, Limits? Or are you not? You going to cheat on this question or no?
I actually do not have him up. I was going to pull him up, but now
how many total
that,
combined receptions did he have? Anybody?
He started off the season really well. They went to Baltimore, and he had a big game against the Ravens. They won that game.
If you're within five, I'll give you a bonus point, Bob. How many catches for him
for
last
the whole
year with those two crap teams? Yeah.
29.
I was going to say 85.
Limits.
Way too much.
You're obviously looking at the numbers back there.
He cheated.
He had 85 on the mark. I saw you looking back there.
Did he actually have 85 on the mark?
You just guessed 85.
Look, you can take a look.
Bob,
I typed in
Devontae.
And I didn't even type in Adams or Adams stats or anything like that.
Again, the question is, I don't think any of us would not want to see him here. It's about the contract.
He had 85 catches for 1,063 yards and 8 touchdowns. He can still play.
Okay.
The year before, he had 103 catches. I mean, this guy's still good. Yes, I'd give up a 7th-round pick for him. What's his contract situation? Do we know?
It's like $38 million on the cap. It's big. They need help over there. There's no question about it. And I will be interested to see what they do with George Pickens moving forward as well. I myself think that he's not going to get a new deal. They'll play it out and see what happens after that.
Well, that's problematic, is that to lower his cap.
It's more problematic to sign him to a 4-year deal and pay him $35 million a year, whatever the market is, and then get the same stuff in return.
Yeah, I'm starting to think money-wise that one's not worth it either, Limits.
Yeah, he has 2 more years left on his deal, including 2025, and man, that's a high number.
I want to see the Steelers draft young, like explosive type players.
And you could get them.
I know.
Every year, you know, the Puka Nakuas in the 5th round come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden are stars. You know, you can get them. You just got to use that draft to your advantage, and hopefully this will be the year they do that.
I hope so. Next.
All right, what do you think about the possibility of Tyler Shuck, the Louisville quarterback?
What is he?
Limits, you're asking me these questions about guys that the Louisville quarterback.
He was brought up on the Bob Showdown last night, Bob. So that's why, right, I brought it up, because Bob was talking about him on KDKA.
But he is looked at as somebody who will be drafted. The question is where, but he is 26. He's been around.
Yeah, he's 26. He's almost as old as Ron. He's older than Kenny Pickett.
It's the Brandon Wheaton deal kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not doing that.
Me neither. I'll tell you what I am doing. And that was a very nice Limitless Express Limits. Thank you.
Oh, shucks, it's over.
What a wonderful
Did he prematurely end it before you were done?
No, he can end it whenever he wants to end it.
I'm trying to adhere to the clock here.
Oh, stunning news. Ding, ding, ding. Breaking news. Joe Starkey, who's 4 minutes beyond, or now 5 minutes beyond the 50-minute mark, will tell you about the 50-minute mark. Since when have you paid attention to the clock?
The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Ian Rapoport has an item on the Steelers quarterbacks, and I have a guy I want to draft. I am convincing myself of this. And the more I hear,
the Trubisky train is going to be derailed for another train.
The more
this one is going to be like the bullet train in Japan, but it's called the dart train.
Yeah, this guy throws darts. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
I think this is a kid they should draft maybe in the 1st round.